Our children are dismissed for children's church. It's always important to pray before we read God's word, because we have to have our hearts right with God before we can really understand what God's saying to us and trying to help us. So let's do that. Let's talk to God before we read his word. Father, we do thank you for your love for us, which is just amazing. Lord, we can't understand it. It's so wonderful and so different than the things that we experience here on this earth, in this place. Lord, give us understanding as we read your word today, and we try to think about how we can apply it to our lives, what needs to change, so we can be more like Jesus. Thanks, God, for promising us to continue this work in us until that day we come face to face with you, with Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Today we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. It's on page 1014 in the Pew Bible. And guess what? We got the same Pew Bible in every pew today. So it'll be on 1014. New this week. So that's good. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'll be reading, I'll give you a couple of extra verses from 8 through 12, give you a little bit of the context. It's on page 1014. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who have preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, and I read verses 8 through 12. I think the theme of this passage today is the wonder of our living inheritance, or the wonder of this living hope that we have in Jesus, or the wonder of this salvation that's been given to us. It's a wonderful, excellent, fabulous thing that God has done that we'll only totally understand when we're finally at home with him in heaven. You know, I'm a pretty proud grandfather. And I think I have the best grandkids ever. I mean, on face of the whole earth, I think they are the best. And the Bible says, you know, it's a real blessing to be able to see your children's children. And not everybody gets to see them, but I've gotten to see my children's children. And I'm glad about that. And, you know, my grandkids are constantly learning things. And you know, my youngest granddaughter, her name is Mira, and we were down at Joel's last week. Joel and I were cutting wood, and Cindy was, you know, playing on the piano with Mira and reading books and doing all kinds of fun stuff with her. And Mira showed Cindy and I that she knows how to do something new. And she wanted to go outside, but Grandma and Grandpa didn't understand. So she threw herself on the ground and showed us that she knows how to do a temper tantrum, a full temper tantrum at 15 months before she can even talk. They're great. We love our grandkids. But sometimes even our grandkids lose perspective on what is most important, don't they? And, you know, we just kind of, Cindy just kind of ignored her, and she got over it, and she came around. And we don't give them what they want by doing that. Well, you know, when Christians encounter suffering, sometimes they too lose perspective. They begin to complain about things that really are not as bad as they appear. And they become absorbed in the pain that's in their lives. And the tears in their eyes, they're real tears, but they cause them to lose the right perspective that they need to have. When things like that happen, we need to have a new perspective on God. Assurance that God is using our pain for our good and His glory. We need to look Godward again. Now, we are a privileged generation to know and understand what we know about our inheritance, our salvation that God has given to us in Christ. As we read this passage, we're going to look at three wonders of our living inheritance, this living hope, this living salvation that God has given to us. Three wonders. Wonders, things that are amazing, things that are hard to understand, things that are not possible really to understand without the Spirit's help in our lives. First point that I'd like to share with you is that what the prophet experienced, the first wonder is what the prophets experienced. Look at verses 10 and 11. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. You know, Peter kind of shifts gears in verse 10 here, from verse 8 and 9, from the future and the present in verses 8 and 9 to back to the past, the distant past. He speaks about the prophets who spoke in their day about the grace that had arrived in Peter's time. You know, sometimes the prophets didn't always understand everything that God said to him, to them. And we see that, especially in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 8, verse 27 says this, "I, Daniel, was exhausted and lay ill for several days. Then I got up and went about the king's business. I was appalled by the vision, and it was beyond my understanding." This is a prophet, a godly man, writing down for us all things about the end times. And he didn't understand everything that God was saying to him. In Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6, he says this, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." That was written over 700 years before the birth of Christ. And probably as he wrote those words, he is asking, who is it? Who is it, God? When is this going to happen? How long do we have to wait before this grace appears? But the scriptures tell us that they earnestly searched their own writings and the writings of other prophets because they wanted to participate. They wanted to understand the salvation that was to come in this period of grace. They knew about the high points. They knew about the sufferings of Christ. And the word there, sufferings, is in the plural. So it's not just his death on the cross, but all the things that Jesus suffered, the hatred of the people, betrayal by a friend, the beatings, the crucifixion. All those things are included in the sufferings of Christ. And then he also talks about the glories of Christ. Again, it's in the plural. His transfiguration, his resurrection, his return, and reign. But they miss the finer points in between those things, including the church. So today we have a unique vantage point. We can understand what the prophets were talking about and things that they couldn't understand and talk about. And we can glorify God and we can be very, very thankful for the salvation that we have. You know, one time there was this city boy who came out to the country. And he decided, it was a hot day, so he decided he wanted to take a swim in this lake. Nobody else around. He thought he could get away with this. So he swam out, like, into the middle of this, like a pond, a small lake. And he didn't realize that you could get a cramp. And so he got a really bad cramp, and he couldn't swim anymore. So he started screaming for help. And there was a country boy who was out working in the field there close. And he threw off his shirt, and he jumped in that lake, and he went out and he grabbed that kid by the collar. And, you know, the kid was struggling and kicking and fighting. You know, he was afraid that he was going to drown. And he drug that living carcass back to the shore and saved that kid's life. And, you know, that kid from the city was kind of embarrassed. Didn't say much to him. Thanks, you know, thanks. And they kind of both went their own way. Well, 2 years later, they ran into each other again. And this time, the kid from the city and his parents wanted to say thank you to the kid from the country. So he said to him, you know, what do you plan on doing with your life? I'm so very thankful for you saving me. And the kid said, well, you know, I'm coming from a poor family. And my dream in life is to go to medical school someday. And the kid said, the city kid said, well, we can take care of that. We'll pay for it. So he sent this boy to medical school. And in 1928, he received an honor called the Nobel Peace Prize for discovering penicillin. His name was Alexander Fleming. A few years later, the city boy got pneumonia. It was during World War II, and he took some of that penicillin, and it saved his life. And then he went on to lead his country through a very, very difficult time of going against Adolf Hitler, and his name was Winston Churchill. So Winston Churchill and his family were very, very thankful for the salvation, physical salvation, that they had received through Alexander Fleming jumping in that pond and saving his life. And so should we be thankful for the salvation, even more so. That's just a temporal thing. We have eternal life from receiving this from God, receiving the word from friends who shared the good news with us. Second point is the second wonder is what the Spirit of Christ brings to us. You find that in verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. You know, the prophets were insiders who yearned to know more. And as the prophets obediently wrote, it was revealed to them by the Spirit of God that part of their words were for a distant time. This is really special insight that Peter is giving us here, what the prophets were thinking about, what was going through their minds as God was using them to write the Scripture. Their writings contained near aspects and far aspects. And their words were a service to the people during the time of grace. That's our period today that they look forward to. The prophets were a link between the Old Testament and the New. You know, some of them, or even most of them, for instance, like Isaiah and Jeremiah, were rejected by their contemporaries, by the people who lived during their time. But their words were used by those who would share the gospel in a different generation. You read the Gospel of John and the Gospel of Luke, you see that John the Baptist and Jesus were quoting Isaiah as they began their ministries. Both of them were using Isaiah. And Isaiah was one of those guys, you know, preached and taught and lived his life, 66 chapters of Isaiah, and very, very little fruit during his time. And yet John the Baptist is going to use his words in order to tell people who he was, and then Jesus is going to talk about Isaiah 61 when they ask him who he is, that his ministry has begun. The message of salvation came from the Spirit of Christ using prophets and evangelism in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Peter was saying, we are preaching the same thing that the prophets did. The only difference was the prophets could not understand the time space between Christ's resurrection and Christ's return. And one of the places Cindy and I have traveled to is Colorado. You know, Colorado is a pretty mountainous state in the United States. The Rocky Mountains are there. And they tell all kinds of jokes about the people in Kansas. You know, it's kind of like Ohio and Pennsylvania. But in Colorado, they tell a lot of jokes about people and what it's like in Kansas. And they say, for instance, you know, if you go to the Mississippi River and you start coming to Kansas, your first step in Kansas, it's so flat that you can see the mountains in Colorado. And we've been there. That's not exactly true. Maybe halfway across Kansas, you can see the mountains. And imagine these cones are mountains. And what you see when you see it in Kansas, the mountains, the Rocky Mountains, you see something like this. But as you get to Colorado and you start driving, it looks like, you know, they're right together. But when you get to Colorado and you start driving around, you find out that those mountain peaks are a long way apart from each other. And that's what the passage here is telling us about. In the Old Testament, they were looking from a distance. They saw this. In the New Testament, we know it's like this. There's a space between the resurrection of Christ and his return for us. That's the second point. Third point, what the angels long to look into. That's the wonder of third wonder of our living inheritance, according to, I read all verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. The scriptures reveal that angels have an intense interest in human salvation. It says they long to look. The idea there is to continuously stoop over to find out what's going on there. The tense is continuous. They continuously stoop over to find out what's going on. And it's a willingness to inconvenience themselves to gain a better perspective. And it's a strong and persistent desire to know what's going on in the people's lives. Angels long to listen to our songs of salvation. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 15. And you'll see there, twice this is mentioned. Luke chapter 15, verse 7 says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Who's going to be rejoicing? Angels. And then look at verse 10, Luke 15, verse 10. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Angels long to listen to our songs of redemption. Angels long to look over the shoulder of a person praying for forgiveness. Angels long to linger as believers endure temporary suffering for the sake of eternal glory. If angels yearn to know more about salvation, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? There's a preacher named Ray Pritchard. And he was speaking on the same passage that I'm speaking on today. And he was at his house, and the phone rang. And his wife was there. She picked it up, she listened, and she said, it's for you. So Pastor Ray picked up the phone and heard a girl's voice say, Pastor Ray, this is Abby. And Pastor Ray started smiling right away, because he knew Abby. Abby had gone through their youth ministry, and now she was a senior at Purdue University in Indiana. And Abby was full of life, and she was a good friend, and she had a special gift of cheering others up. And she also talks a mile a minute. So, this pastor didn't have to say anything during this conversation. The whole time he's listening, mentally he's kind of going, I really need to get back to what I was doing before she called. But he was listening to her. He couldn't figure out how to get off the phone from her. But Abby told this pastor she had been working in a restaurant this summer before, and they sell liquor at this restaurant. And she said, don't worry, Pastor Ray, I don't drink. I know some people wonder about me working there, but I've been there all summer and met a lot of people. And it's been a great time. And on Saturday night when they invite me to a party, I tell them, I can't go. And when they ask why, I tell them I'm going to church in the morning. So, I can't go. But they still like me, and I get along fine, Pastor Ray. I've had so many amazing opportunities to talk to people about the Lord. I mean, it's almost like every day, because they know who I am, what I believe, and so they come and talk to me, and so it's just great. Pastor Ray, God has blessed me so much this summer. And then she told him a few days ago, before she went back to Purdue, she met and befriended a young girl from Poland. And this girl knew that she was a Christian. And so one day she came up and asked her, "Is it wrong to smoke weed?" Abby thought for a second and gave her this answer: "Anything that takes you away from God is bad for you, and you know that smoking weed is taking you away from God. So it's bad for you, and you shouldn't do it." Well, that was a good answer. Several days later, the girl called Abby and said, "I stopped smoking weed, and now I'm trying to get closer to God. Can you help me?" So Abby explained the gospel to this girl as best as she could. And that's why she called, because she wanted this pastor to send this girl some information, a book that he had written. And so he did that. And then she said to the pastor, Ray, she said, "I feel so privileged and blessed by God. I just want to talk to other people about Jesus. I'm praying about becoming a missionary so I can tell others about Jesus. I feel so privileged that I want to share Jesus with everyone I meet." And she used that word privileged over and over again because she understood the salvation that she had in Jesus. And then Ray says, right about that time, the Holy Spirit said to me, "Wake up, Ray. This is for you. This is how I want you to end your sermon on Sunday, with her testimony." And they agreed that that would be a good idea. And as you can tell, it's all good. Abby had discovered the very same thing that Peter was talking about. She understood the privilege that it is to know Jesus Christ. And because of that, you can't stop talking about him. You know, whenever your heart is gripped with the enormous privilege of knowing Jesus, I'm never going to have to tell you about doing evangelism. What we'll have to tell you is maybe sometimes it's okay to stop. The wonder of our living inheritance. How about you? Are you gripped with this great privilege that we have, understanding that we have new life, that we have living hope, we have a living inheritance, and that grips you so much that you want to tell people about that all the time? Is that characterizing your life? Secondly, do you feel overwhelmed sometimes by suffering? Have you lost the right perspective? If you have, then you have to turn Godward again, and receive strength and power from him, remembering the salvation he's provided for us through Jesus Christ. It's the greatest thing that doesn't compare to anything else that can happen to us. Everything that we go through is going to look like nothing compared to the glory it's going to be in heaven. It's going to be for all of eternity. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us, for this gift of salvation that you've given us in Christ. How wonderful it is. Lord, just help us to cling to you. Know that these things that we go through in this life are temporary, and they're there for a purpose to help us to know you better. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Please join us for the final hymn. grace is more, where grace is found, is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me, it's where you stand off on you, Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you, Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
God, we do need you. Thank you for working in our lives and helping us to understand your word a little bit more today. Lord, as we leave this place, we ask that you be with us in a special way. Lighten our steps. Take the burden from our shoulders. Free us from the stuff that's gotten our perspective off the right things. Lord, direct us to people this week that need to see Jesus in us. Help us, Lord, to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks for coming.